We are doing this podcast on Thomas Satterwhite Noble's painting, The Present, and my name is Andalee Banta, Curator of European and American Art at the Allen, and I'm here with...
Carol Lasser. I'm Professor of History at Oberlin College and also the Director of the Gender, Sexuality, and Feminist Studies Institute.
Thomas Satterwhite Noble's painting, The Present, is an interesting work of art for many reasons, partially because Thomas Satterwhite Noble was an interesting individual. He grew up in a slave-owning culture in Kentucky. He was trained in Paris and spent time in New York, but he returned back to the United States just before the Civil War and enlisted to serve in the Confederate Army. Soon thereafter, after the war ended, he then painted a series of abolitionist subjects, about five paintings that explored the evils of slavery and the effects it had on African Americans just during the Civil War years. The painting in question now is made in 1865. We know that it was made actually in July 1865 because the artist signed the back of the painting and that he made it in St. Louis. This is an interesting moment in history because it's 3 months after the Civil War ended and after Lincoln was assassinated.
It's also a moment when the 13th Amendment that will provide for emancipation throughout the United States has not yet been ratified, but in Missouri, where Satterwhite's painting, slaves have actually been freed, not by the Emancipation Proclamation, because Missouri was a state that did not secede, but by a declaration by the governor of the state. It's interesting that Satterwhite grew up in a borderland and was painting in a borderland and had obviously made a conscious choice to enlist in the Confederate Army, but returned with these paintings of abolitionist subjects.
So the painting, The Present, was actually originally intended as part of a trilogy. The first part of the trilogy was The Past Conditions of the Negro, and we don't know what it looks like. It doesn't exist anymore. This is supposed to represent the present conditions of the Negro, and then there is also a third painting representing the future conditions of the Negro. So looking at the painting carefully, we have a really wonderful representation of this woman, who is looking at us very directly. She is sitting inside of her home, presumably. Right. It's not a fancy place. It's quite modest.
No, but she's well-dressed.
She is
wearing a not-so-shabby green gown, and where it pulls apart in a little place, you can actually see that she's wearing some underclothes as well. She's got gold ring, and she's got gold earrings. She is looking at us directly with a kind of... She has a presence. She has a real presence.
She does. She has a real kind of self-possession to her. Another interesting aspect about the painting, of course, is not just the woman who directly engages our attention, but also the objects in the room with her. On the upper right corner, perhaps the most recognizable thing is a print of a portrait of Abraham Lincoln, who had been assassinated just months before this painting was painted, and really draws attention to the issue of abolitionism and the history of the United States at this point. And then, of course, there is, hard to see, but there is that figure of the angel in the smoke in the fireplace.
Yes, and that's, I think, a very interesting figure. Is this slavery vanishing? Is this a protective agent who is there for her? I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
No, I don't know what to do about that either. I generally see this painting as some kind of allegorical representation of this liminal, critical moment in American history. Lincoln has just been killed, and slavery is coming to an end officially, if slowly. And I often wonder if this is meant to be kind of a eulogy of Lincoln and an indicator of slavery going up in smoke in some regard. This idea of these border states being porous entities is also really interesting. We've talked a little bit about that, mm-hmm. in that, you know, you said they never seceded, but they seem to have had both Confederacy and Union political views mixed together. A lot of families were split quite violently in the Civil War because of that. And then
I think the other thing is that families are ambivalent, individuals are ambivalent.
Yes.
People are sort of making the best of a difficult moment. And that also, I think, comes across in this image of this woman,
yes.
who is making the best at a difficult moment. She's kind of looking for her advantages.
Right. And I tend to see her as a liminal subject herself. You know, it's still not completely clear. Is she still enslaved? Is she recently emancipated? Is she something in between? That makes her really compelling and interesting.
I think it's interesting also that he's chosen a female figure here, because from what little we know about the future, he chooses a male figure to portray. So here we have, in a sense, the mother of the future. She is a woman clearly of childbearing age. She's an attractive woman, but she's all alone here, kind of trying to find her way forward. So it's an interesting notion of where will she look for her guidance. She has her good luck charm. She has her Lincoln on the wall. She has her lucky feather. But where will she go? What will she do?
And that's kind of the question that I think the nation was experiencing itself at the time.